So the big question is this: how do investors like us get access to the ideas, information, and most importantly, the right people that give us the tools and information we need to make informed and educated decisions to have success? That is the question, and this podcast will give us the answers. This is Mark Moss, your host. Let's get this started.
In the early days of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, people were afraid to put out who they really were. We have all types of people working behind aliases, animal accounts, and so forth. And the industry has not been short on characters in the space. And none of the characters are as big as the notorious John McAfee. John McAfee is famous for his antivirus software, which of course carries his name and is still one of the biggest antivirus softwares out there today. He's been in the cybersecurity space for a long time. And if anybody gets security, cybersecurity, technology, it's John McAfee. Again, his character has been larger than life. He's had his own Netflix show kind of showing some of the stuff that he's done throughout his life. He's been pretty notorious being outspoken against a lot of the oppression that we see from the government, the financial and the lack of privacy, as we call it. He liked to say that we don't have privacy. We have to take it, right? We have to hide. And anyway, we sat down with John McAfee. We jumped into a lot of these topics. He talked about the golden cage that we're in and the keys that we have in our hand today and so many other interesting topics, as you might imagine, talking to John McAfee. So it's a great conversation. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Market Disruptors Podcast. Today, I'm joined by John McAfee, who doesn't need a whole lot of introduction. He's definitely been a big person in the space, talking a lot about the technology from a different perspective. And so I'm really happy to have you on, John. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate having me on, Mark.
Yeah. So as I said, you don't need a lot of introduction. You've been a pretty big person, a character in the space for sure. But maybe just for a few people that don't know, just kind of briefly, tell us about kind of your perspective, how you got here, what you've been working on, how you got here.
Okay. Well, it depends on where here is. I got here in hiding because of my political views. Here technically because of the trajectory of my my experience, which has been pure computer technology from the first job that I had. From the perspective of cryptocurrency, I got here because one of my employees came to visit me in Belize in 2010 and bought the Bitcoin white paper with me. And I read that and immediately saw where this was headed. And we've gone so far since Bitcoin. I mean, we've gone so far in blockchain development to include privacy, to include smart contracts and all kinds of functionality on the blockchain. So that one simple coin, that one very simplistic equation has expanded and blossomed into an entire industry, which is going to change the face of society, either for the better or for the worse, depending on our decisions.
Yeah, which I want to talk about. That's an interesting conversation. But you've been kind of at the forefront of security. I mean, obviously McAfee antivirus. I got a brand new computer, and it's like it's prompting me to update my McAfee antivirus. So you've kind of been at the forefront of that, and maybe even with the life you've been living down in Belize and around the world and whatnot, you've been practicing privacy in your own life as well. So. Does that give you like a unique perspective? You know, your worldview has been shaped in a way to see, you know, Bitcoin in a different way.
Well, you're making an assumption that we actually have privacy or privacy is possible in today's world, and I'm afraid that I have to say, as I see the world, we have no privacy whatsoever.
Right,
privacy is not possible. You know, what we have left, and that's only for the few like me, is the ability to hide. I mean, this conversation I was being listened to by probably 30 different agencies, right, all trying to find where I am. But that lack of privacy, once I understand that everybody's listening, is easy to deal with if my aim is simply to avoid being discovered. You know, I know enough about computer security that if I don't want to be found electronically, you know, trust me, you won't find me. And even though, as I said, this is not private and being listened to, my structure and my layered network of virtual private networks are not the type you download from Google. I mean, serious, virtual networks, multi-layered. You just can't find it.
Yeah.
So two different things, you know, and that's the last thing we have left, and that's just to be hidden. But see, to do that, we don't have phones. We can't have phones, obviously. But phones are the ultimate spy device. And everybody is listening or watching.
Yeah, I've seen just recently, I forget which country, but they want to make it where in order to even buy a SIM card, you have to do a facial recognition. Like they won't even give you a SIM card without that.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Of course. Yeah. I know. That. Why? Because our smartphones is how we are monitored, controlled, and surveilled by our governments and institutions and regulatory bodies. And if you have one, I promise you, there is no software, hardware, or anything you can do in the world that will keep your life private. It's not possible. I mean, unless you put your phone in the freezer at night, shut the door, and leave it there, because turning it off doesn't help. I mean, you think phones actually turn off when you turn them off? Don't be silly. It's a software switch. Turns all the power off to the lights and anything that drains, but it's still running, for fuck's sake. You know, chewing up a minimum amount of power, but it's still running, and it can turn on the microphone, it can turn on the camera, it can continue to read what's happening, you know, in attempted communications. And, people, privacy is gone if you have a phone. We do not.
It's definitely scary, and we know that because now the phones have Siri or Alexa or whatever they have. And so we know they're always listening because at any time we can just say, hey, Siri, or hey, Alexa, and it can instantly get it. So we know it's listening. It reminds me of
Alexa and these things are just smoke screens to keep your attention away from the real spy. Alexa, what happens to Alexa? Does Alexa get into your car with you to go to work? Does it go out with you on dates? No. Does your phone? Yes.
Right.
It's your phone, people. It's not Alexa. It's not your TV that's listening to your conversations. You can walk out of the room. No, it's your phone.
Yeah. I have an Android phone, so I have Google, so I can just say, okay, Google, and like it instantly comes on. It just did. it's listening. But it reminds me of the quote from one of our forefathers, and I think it's been misattributed. Either Thomas Jefferson said that those willing to give up safety for security deserve neither. And we're giving up safety or security for
convenience. No, it's actually giving up freedom for safety. I think that's what you're going to say.
Right. Yeah. And they deserve neither. Right. So we're giving up our privacy, our security for convenience.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's it. And if you want to do that, that's fine. I mean, I still live in this world quite comfortably, knowing that my every move is being monitored. I simply choose my words. I put out enough disinformation that I'm still safe, even though I'm watched. And we have to change our attitudes if we're going to be living in this new age that's coming up.
Yeah, and it's a shame that most people have no idea why they need privacy. I hate to see people say, well, I have nothing to hide, so I don't need privacy.
Well, see, those people who say that have never looked at themselves.
Yeah.
Because there's not a human on this planet that does not, in every single meeting with every single person, use a set of privacy filters. And let me give you an example. You buy something at the store and you've never seen the checkout clerk before. Do you say, hi, I fucked my brother's wife last night. I'm kind of worried about it. Right. Do you?
No.
Why? You don't reveal it because it's private in that relationship.
Yeah.
You call into work and you're not really sick, but you want to play golf with your friends and nothing really happening at work. And they tell you about you playing golf. You might tell your friends, or your friends might know, hey, your boss believes you. Huh? Absolutely. But are you going to tell your boss, oh, I lied to you yesterday? No. Or maybe people don't do those things, but I promise you, every relationship that you have. Casual acquaintances, you might tell them where you live, tell them a few things about your life. Closer friends, you might tell them a lot. Your best friends, you might tell them everything. And the same thing with your spouse, but maybe not.
Yeah.
So I promise you, people, you think you got nothing to hide? It's hide from whom, for fuck's sake? And if you take the entire world, you got shit to hide.
Yeah.
So look at yourself.
Especially real people. Especially in today's world, more than ever, because the world is so polarizing today that no matter which side you're on, someone's going to hate you. I'm pro-life. Well, people hate pro-life. I'm pro-choice. Well, people hate pro-choice, right? Like, I'm Republican. I'm Democrat. Like, no matter which side you're on, there's somebody opposing you. And so,
which is where censorship eventually comes from. If you're on both sides and I hate what you're saying, I wish you didn't say it. I wish I didn't have to see shit like that. That's okay. If both sides are equally matched. But what if you're an extremist group and you say something that both sides hate?
Right.
And suddenly censorship always comes in, does it not? You're not allowed to say that because that's offensive to everybody. You know, I mean, Janice was showing me where someone had quoted saying, I don't think sex with children is bad. It's only sex with children when it's non-consensual. Now, that's a horrific fucking statement.
Right.
But does it make you in any way change your attitudes going, Oh, I think it's okay to have sex with children. No, you get angry. So what happens? Nothing changes in the world. Be a fucking crime. What is the crime is that you suddenly hate the person who stated and believes what you hate. So now you hate that person. We want to censor them for what crime? The crime of being hated. Please God, people, that's what censorship is.
Yeah. Now, I know you wanted to talk about you wanted to come on the podcast and talk because you don't like to be on mainstream media. And we have this kind of alternative system now. The internet's created this alternative system for information where we could do something like this and reach a large audience. But then we have, you know, cryptocurrencies, which are creating an alternative system, maybe not just for money, which a lot of people think of money right now, but also a technology, as you mentioned, kind of to free us.
Well, let's look for an example on how we are controlled. We're controlled financially.
Of course.
I mean, the U.S. dollar, for example, if you're in the U.S., which is the currency, the legal tender, it's actually written on the dollar, meaning that this is, everybody must take it. And so the Fed can do whatever they want in terms of money supply. For example, among all the things they can do to fuck you over, and let's say increase the supply of money, which decreases the value of your hard-earned savings. And you think this hasn't happened? Governments have done this to extremes, like inflating, like in Germany in the 40s by a factor of 10.
Right.
Making all of the fruits of your labor worth one-tenth of what they used to be. You're at the mercy. Not only that, but far more important, where they have more than $10,000 in cash on, you can't move from one country to another. They think you're a criminal.
Right.
Why? Because they want all of your money flow to go to a channel that can be counted, monitored, and controlled. Stopped if they want, for example. And so this is the situation that we're in. And if you think that this doesn't make you a slave, let me say, if the person who owns or controls that money controls everything in your life, you cannot pay the rent, buy a car, send your kids to school, get better without it. What if we had our own, controlled by nobody, so that it cannot be an increase in supply or a decrease in supply or a monitoring system to make sure that you're spending money in the way that the government approves of.
Right.
Do you see where we are, people? So with cryptocurrency, we are freed from that completely. If we use privacy coins and decentralized exchanges, then governments can neither know what you're doing or stop what you're doing financially.
Yeah, I that's how I've looked at Bitcoin, where it's like for the first time in history, right? We have a way to hold our value that can't be seized or stolen. It can't be inflated or manipulated. And if I want to transfer it to you, it can't be stopped or blocked. We've never had that before. It's like a brand new technology that in itself is revolutionary.
Yes.
You know, this whole thing with privacy and like me having my privacy, me having my own money, the government wanting to see everything I'm doing and invade my privacy and have control over my money. At the end of the day, I mean, why do they want that? You think that's something sinister? I mean, they want it. They want to see every detail because they want ultimate control to maintain power.
Well, of course. Of course. Well, knowing everything about a populace is the holy grail of dictatorship. Because if you know everything about everybody, you can control everything that they do. And so governments want control ultimately of your finances, knowing exactly where every penny comes from, where every penny goes to. And because you must have that money to live, you must conform to whatever rules they wish to apply to their money supply. Like, you can't send it to Iran, not this year, where we don't like them, or what have you. And please give us 25% of all the fruits of your labor, please, because we're too goddamn lazy to figure out how to earn money as a government.
25%? That's being generous for them.
Well, I'm trying to be. All right. Yeah. I mean, good God Almighty. In feudal societies, which we are in right now, if you think about it, in feudal societies, the defining characteristic was the king owned you and the land and everything. You were there at his leisure. Every year, you were required to work 2 months for the king, wherever he wanted to assign you and whatever he wanted you to do. Build a castle, carry the stones, dig the ditch, or 2 months worth of the fruits of whatever your labor was. If you're a blacksmith, we're going to take 25% of your horseshoes, 25% of this and that. And we're not talking 2 months worth of that.
Right.
If you grew potatoes and grew, you know, whatever, we're going to take 2 months supply of your potatoes. Imagine the hardships. And yet today, we work more than
50% now. 50%.
What? I don't think so. Really? Where are you?
Well, I'm in California. So in addition to 38% top federal tax rate, we have a 14% state income tax rate.
Oh, that's correct. That's right.
And now they changed it where
you
I
have
can't
two
even...
illegal. Yes. All right. You've got two illegal taxes on you. Imagine this, people. Half of the year of your labor goes to the government, which does not, I promise you, give you a half years of service in return.
Right.
Is that what you have? You do you feel like, oh, I don't mind paying taxes. I get that much every year from the government.
Well, even worse than that, I object to how they're spending my money.
Well, don't we all?
Yeah.
I mean, I, you know, my heart goes out to you.
Yeah. So I want to chase this down a little bit because it's something that I've been focused on. So again, back to the technology to free us. So right now we have this technology that seems to be enslaving us, right? So as our phones, as you said, are spying on us, it's giving them the ultimate tool that they want. We're seeing things like in China, which is, you know, with the social credit scores and whatnot, where they're really, you know, I've heard, you know, millions of people are limited from even traveling by bus now because of social credit scores. And it's almost like this technology is going to give them, as you just said, the perfect tool for control. I mean, that's kind of where this goes, right?
Well, yes. Here's our issue with technology, people. Up until the blockchain was created, all of the world-changing technologies, like the atomic bomb, you know, space rocket, these things came from where? From the bowels of some government research program, controlled by, monitored by, and motivated and oriented toward those things that the government wants. So we were at the mercy of technology.
Right.
Even computer technology. When I say government, I mean government/industry. There's not much difference anymore.
Sure.
Big industry. Google, Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, Samsung. These are the big industries of very little difference. Okay? It's saying they operate the same, secretive when they're developing. Why? It have to be. You don't want your competitors knowing what you're doing.
And we know secretive. The CIA and the government is in Silicon Valley working with these companies.
Pardon?
And we know the CIA, the government is in Silicon Valley.
Yeah. In bed with these companies. In fact, when I say the government, I really should say the CIA. There's no difference now. The CIA is the controlling factor in America. Right. So, but for the first time, the blockchain, which if you do not think it is world changing, please look at it again, came from the people.
Right.
A group of less than 10 bright, geeky, programmer/developers who came up over a period of years with the idea and the code for the blockchain and the first application for it, which was Bitcoin. It's from the people. And we now, for the first time in 100 years, are in the leading edge. We develop privacy coins. Governments are just now noticing that, good God, we got a problem with cryptocurrency. We'd better find out about it.
Right.
We developed the smart contracts. We developed things which are truly anti-government, things that the people can use so that they don't need a government. You don't need a government to back a dollar when you've already got Monero, a privacy coin, or some other, or DAI, the stable coin, which is pegged to the dollar. So who cares? So do you understand what governments lose? They lose their financial control over the populace. And if they lose financial control, they lose all control. Now, isn't this how it should be, for fuck's sake?
Yeah.
Is the government supposed to be there to control us? Or is it to be there to serve us? As I understand our fucking constitution, its purpose is to serve.
Right.
You take job, sometimes unwillingly, but you're the best for it. Get paid, do your duty, and come home. Thank God that's over. I hated being president. I'm sure that George Washington did not want to be president. They had to drag his sorry ass kicking and screaming. And I'm sure after his term, he's going, good God, I'm glad that's over. That was my sacrifice for my country. Right. Now what are people doing? For a job that pays $250,000 a year, they pay $20 million to get it.
Or more.
Use some logic, people. Where's the common sense? Yes. You're voting for these pricks. It doesn't matter. They go, no, it's not his money. It's the money of his backers, his campaign, the donate, whatever. Well, who gives a fuck whose money it is? It's being spent to put this prick in that chair.
Right.
Are you crazy? You're actually going to vote for that person? No. I want to vote for the person going, I don't want to do it. No, you're the best man. It's your duty to do it. It's a sacrifice. If you don't do it, we're going to shoot you. That's who I want to vote for.
Yeah. And like any company, you know, we talked about, you know, these big tech companies, but any company really, in order to have a good company, you have to build this company culture. And it really starts from the top. And as you said, like with George Washington, like they came here sacrificing their life to lead a country, sacrificing for future generations. But today the leaders are not sacrificing anything. They're all out there to enrich themselves personally. And that sets the culture for the whole country.
But it can't be. We can't have that culture as a government. Please, people, wake up. I mean, it can't continue. Yeah, we let it get this far. But now that it's gotten this far, just take a look at it. It's not what we intended. It can't be what we wanted.
No, it's not what we wanted.
And it certainly will not what we need. So this has got to change. And who's changing it? You. The government's not going to change itself, no matter how much we yell and shout. They'll just give us more entertainment to keep us, I don't know, from being bored, start a war or something. No, wake up and look at it. We put these idiots in office, people paying money to get a fucking job next to nothing. What's wrong with this picture? Please, wake up. We have time for one more question, my friend.
Okay, so we have the technology that's working to enslave us, and now we have the technology that can free us. So we have this race. Which one wins, right? So is that how you see it, like a race? Like the people need to adopt this technology at a faster rate in order to beat the
We need to adopt it at a faster rate. We need to stop looking at it as a way to get rich quick, because that's a perversion of the intent. of this. You know, you've been given a golden key to unlock your cage, and right. you're using it to scratch your back instead.
I love that.
God will tell people, what we need is to use this. Now, people are, trust me, I do. Tens of thousands are, but we need everybody. We must use this. We must see the beauty of the system, the efficiency, how easy, simple. Want to wire money to Europe? I don't have to get out of bed, go to the bank, fill out forms, get a stamp, get some approvals. And they say, oh, no, I'm sorry. It's to Iran. We can't send it there.
Right.
No, you stay in bed and you do a copy and a paste and a mail, press send, and go back to watching television. And it's your control. Nobody controls that but you. And if you're using a privacy coin, nobody sees it but you. Nor can anybody ever.
Yep.
So that if you do not want and still don't, I mean, I'm not saying people don't pay taxes, but if you are looking for a way not to, and you realize the absolute illegality of it, then use privacy coins and distributed exchanges. And it'll come down to your word against the governments, because they won't know shit.
Right.
It will be totally in your head. And if you choose to reveal it, please do so and fill out the W-2 form completely with every penny. I'm not saying don't do that. But
right.
if you don't want to do that, then please, here's how not to do that. Now, there will be no record anywhere on this planet that is readable that can be connected to you for any income or any expense. And this is what terrifies governments, people. This is why they are going to come down hard on us and soon. But be brave. They came down on us for smoking weed. 75 goddamn years in America. 75 years, you may not smoke weed. And in some cases, with 10 to 20 years in prison just for mere possession of an ounce of marijuana. And what happened? We still smoke weed. Nothing changed. It's called civil disobedience. We civilly disobeyed and continued to put into our bodies, because we thought, incorrectly, I guess, that our body belongs to us and not to a government. And therefore, if I want to put something in it, then goddamn it, I will do so. And those people civilly disobeyed, because civil disobedience is the most powerful tool of change.
Yeah.
And I've been doing civil disobedience with my taxes for 10 years.
Yeah.
Eight of which they never bothered me. I'm in America. I just send an email every year. I'm not filing a form this year. You know where I live. They never came after me. I've paid over $50 million in taxes. It's enough, people. It's enough. I stopped. 2 years ago, when I go on the national stage with all of the blockchain conferences, the Bitcoin conferences, the crypto conferences, and speaking about just what I'm telling you now, don't want to pay taxes, do this, suddenly the IRS does not like me. And in January of this year, Janus, they convened a grand jury to charge Janus, myself, and four of our associates with unspecified tax fraud. Well, because I am John McAfee, I found out in advance and we left the country. This is how I have to live in order to be civilly disobedient in my own country. Because by not filing a tax return, which is not an illegal act, people. You understand?
Right.
The illegal act is filing one and lying on
it. Yeah, exactly.
If you don't file, the IRS has the right to just come in and take your house, your car, and everything. And then you have to sue to get it back, to prove that you didn't owe that much. They've always had that option and never exercised it. Me alone, because I left them alone. But when I started talking about, you know, after pain, I'm sorry, I'm out of time. I wish we could talk longer.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. And like you said, let's use the key to unlock the cage, right? So we'll push for mass adoption and build this alternative system. Take the power away. And
all right. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Hey, if you like this episode of the Market Disruptors podcast, please help us take this to the top of the podcast charts. Just please do me a favor and rate, review, and subscribe. Taking 15 seconds to just leave a quick review goes a long way in helping us reach more people and disrupt more markets. I really appreciate you listening, and I'll see you next time on the Market Disruptors podcast.